So the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, held an evangelical prayer rally this past Saturday. Is that a mixing of politics and religion, or is that what America is all about? We'll discuss that and a whole lot more today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Were you at the prayer rally in Texas, in Houston, this past weekend? Were you there praying, worshiping together with Governor Rick Perry and Governor Sam Brownback and Christian leaders from around America, evangelical Christian leaders in particular? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Are you blessed, excited, pleased that a national leader like Rick Perry, someone that could well be running for president, someone who is greatly loved in terms of his track record in Texas, being reelected as governor, are you blessed and thrilled to see that he's taken such a public lead, that he's calling for evangelicals to pray together? And if you watched part of the rally, or if you were there at the rally, you'd say that it certainly was not any type of partisan politics, that when Governor Perry prayed for the nation and prayed for our president, people were warmly joining together. Is that something good? Is that something positive? Do we need to see more of that? Or what if he was Catholic and called for a gathering of Catholic leaders, and it was primarily Catholic priests and other leaders within the Catholic Church that were praying together? Would you have felt excluded? Would you have said, what about the separation of church and state? Maybe you voted for Governor Perry because you think he's a strong leader, but you don't agree with him necessarily religiously, and you think that there's a violation of church and state separation. I'm not saying whether it's a right understanding of it. I'm just saying that's your perspective. What if he was a Muslim leader and called for Muslims to gather together? Hey, I'm just putting things on the table. What if he was an atheist but believed in the power of positive thought and asked to fill a stadium and have everyone think good thoughts? I'm thinking back to the human being. What was it, the Summer of Love in 1967? When hippies were going to gather together and think positive thoughts and meditate and somehow bring peace to the world, I'm sure mixed with some drugs and sex. So just want to get your take on that, want to talk about that, and a whole bunch of other things I want to get into on the broadcast today. I've got an article I just wrote called It's the Morality, Stupid, dealing with economic issues that goes back to a show I had a week ago with a businessman right here on the program here. I've been thinking about that issue, the economy and morality, so I'll share that with you. And what is tonight and then tomorrow on the Jewish calendar? What is it? There is a season, a Tisha B'Av, and this is a time of the year when Jews especially mourn and pray. They remember the destruction of the temple. They remember what has taken place in past disasters in Jewish history. According to Jewish tradition, the first temple was destroyed on what is the ninth of Av, the ninth of the month of Av, that the temple was destroyed, the first temple and the second temple, and the Bar Kokhba revolt in 135 crushed, and Jews exiled from Spain in 1492, Jews who refused to be baptized in Catholicism, exiled from Spain. So it is the quintessential day of mourning in Jewish tradition, the time when Jews around the world fast and mourn over the destruction of the temple. It's a great time to intercede for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Hey, that being the case, what if Governor Perry was a Jew? What if it was a state like New York, with many Jews? We've had Jewish mayors currently do. What if Mayor Bloomberg, say, called for a day of prayer and had Jewish leaders come, almost all Jewish leaders? Or if he was the governor of the state, how would you feel about that? All right, a lot to talk about. 866-34-TRUTH. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can we possibly separate politics from God? Should we? Can we say, hey, we've got the political realm, and we don't bring God into that because we don't want to be divisive? Or is it crazy to even think about separating the political realm from God? After all, it's God who raises up and puts down. After all, if we follow God's principles, we're blessed. If we ignore his principles, we're not blessed or we're cursed. That's going to work for anybody. Come on, if our economy, say, was based completely on ravaging and pillaging poor nations, and our economy was based entirely, say, on, oh, let's come up with something horrifically obscene, that our economy was based on sex trafficking, and that's how we made our money, and now we think we're going to prosper doing that, how absolutely obscene and wrong would that be? So do you say thank God for a man like Governor Perry, who calls Christians together and says, hey, I'm an evangelical, and because I'm an evangelical, I'm calling for people in particular within my own faith tradition to gather and pray, but everyone is welcome. And, excuse me, and this is not a partisan political rally, and we're not doing this for political purposes, nor are we doing this to spread our own religious faith. It's just this is who I am as an evangelical Christian, so I'm gathering primarily with other evangelical Christians to cry out to God, to pray for mercy on our nation, and for us to repent of our own sins. Since when does it say anywhere in our Constitution, anywhere in our right interpretation of our Constitution, that once you're elected, you now have to put your faith aside? Once you're elected, you now have to be religious according to everyone's dictates. Come on. If a president goes to church, if we had a Catholic president, we'd expect that Catholic president would go to Catholic church. And if we had a Protestant president, we'd expect that Protestant president would go to Protestant church services. If we had a Jewish president, we'd expect that person to go to synagogue. So why get up in arms of how could he do this? Now, some of you may be cynical and say the only reason Governor Perry did this was simply because he's trying to get a feel for his political campaign and see how much momentum he can get from the evangelicals. Well, let God be the judge of that. I certainly think that we are having all too few prayer gatherings in stadiums around America now, and in churches around America, and in major coliseums around America, or convention centers. I think we're having far too few. I think these should be happening all over the place because our nation is in a big mess, and we need God. And if we are people of faith, we should be looking to him and repenting. I mean, is that wrong? Is that too much to ask? Is that forcing religion on people? No. It's just spiritual people doing what spiritual people do, just like those not attending services and not attending religious meetings and not reading their Bibles are doing what they don't do. We're doing what we do. 866-34-TRUTH. Boyd in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Awesome. Hello.
Go
How
for
are
it.
You?
Yeah, I'm doing just
hey,
great, man. Go for it.
Great. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think it was a commendable thing for the Governor Rick Perry in our great state of Texas to stand up and cry out and ask for the nation to come together on that day for fasting and prayer because of the economic situation that this nation and the world actually is in.
Oh, yeah.
I think there should be more of those gatherings. And I was there personally. It was not a political agenda at all that I could see. So I commend Governor Perry for what he initiated, and there should definitely be more of those gatherings.
Excellent. Hey, thank you, Boyd. Thank you for being there praying, and thanks for your take on it. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Roland in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, yes, sir. How are you doing?
Very well. Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to say I also agree with the fact that Governor Rick Perry did what he did. And I think the two objections were, number one, that it was non-inclusive, that it was Christians only. And the second one, they claimed that they were using government funds, for instance, for the police force, just to have security. But the thing is, obviously, this is a free country, and if anybody else wants to gather, they're welcome to do so.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, there was a group that had like a counter rally the day before at a nearby church. but it was at a much smaller venue because, in my opinion, that's the amount of people that really support their cause.
Right.
So rather than trying to shut down our cause, they're free to have their own rally, and that's an indication that maybe that they don't have that much backing. So.
If you think of it, Roland, what there were maybe 30,000 people or more who gathered for a day of prayer and seeking the face of God in the stadium, and there were a handful of people who gathered in an anti-prayer or anti-Rick Perry event. So it was interesting to see where the momentum was, and really what inspires people and draws people together is not going to be a counter-protest against a prayer rally. Hey, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, I know just with those listening from the emails I get and occasional calls that we get from dissenters that there are plenty of you listening right now that don't agree. There are plenty of you listening that who have an issue with this. You may not be able to articulate it really well, but I still would like to hear from you, and I won't attack your position, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. Darlene in Peabody, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
I just want to say that I was so proud of that Republican getting up in front of everybody on TV and making it loud and clear that this whole world needs to turn over to God because that's the only way it's going to run right. And that's all I need to say.
Hey, let me just keep you on the phone for 1 second. You are in Massachusetts, and of course, same-sex marriage has been the law there. The current governor of Massachusetts is very much gay-friendly in terms of gay pride events and that kind of thing. So does it strike you as a little bit of a contrast in culture that you have, say, in one setting, a governor attending a gay pride event, even one that could be marked by all types of vulgarity and public lewdness, which would be out of place, heterosexual, homosexual, it's out of place either way, and you've got the governor proudly marching in that, versus Governor Perry calling for repentance and prayer. Quite a contrast, huh?
Yes, it is. And what I believe is nobody should be judging anybody because God is the judge of everybody, lest I'd want to be judged. So that's how I feel about everything. But I just feel that this world, which is God's world, God owns everything in mm-hmm. this world. People need start praying. I've seen so many miracles in my life. I'm a living testimony. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Darlene. I appreciate you weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Fred, South Orange, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hello, Mike. Listen, I heard somebody talk about Rick Perry and that he might be an agenda that he was trying to use.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm not familiar with this.
Tell you what, Fred, we have a problem with your phone. I will get our guys on with you to see if we can correct that. All right. I wrote an article that just came out probably within the last hour or two on townhall.com called It's the Morality, Stupid. Do you remember when Bill Clinton was running against the first President Bush, George H.W. Bush, and of course, there had been the success of the Iraq War in 1991. It looked for a season as if President Bush would be unbeatable in his reelection attempts. He was somewhat mixed in terms of his own motivation to run, but it was strategist James Carville, now the famous political strategist James Carville, who gave a word of counsel to Bill Clinton. As I understood this, just had it in front of him everywhere, on his desk, and don't forget this. And this was the slogan. It's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. And that was the word to Bill Clinton. Remember that always. Hammer on that. Hammer on that. Hammer on that. Hammer on that. If you do, you'll win. And of course, Bill Clinton did, and he did win the election. And that was certainly, a large part of the strategy. And you think whoever's going to run against Mr. Obama in 2012, assuming everything continues as is, up until that time, whoever's going to run against him is going to run heavily based on the economy. I mean, that would make sense, right? we are in far, far worse condition now, economically, than we were in 1991, 1992. And as one of our previous callers just said, the whole world is shaking. There's an economic shaking all around the world. And Israel's stock market Friday opened up with dismal results, went down 7% as a result of it being announced that America's credit rating had dropped for the first time in our history. Isn't it wild? Nancy and I were just talking about this. You know, it's like an individual getting a loan, you get your credit rating, and it affects things. So same thing with America. It's mind-boggling. It's amazing. Yeah, the whole world is shaking economically, and surely whoever's going to run against Barack Obama in 2012 is going to emphasize economy, economy. Look at all the unemployment. Look at what this gas prices you're paying. Look at the mortgage situation. Everything's messed up. Look around. And yet, there are deeper issues. And that's why we've got to start with God. We've got to start with prayer if we're going to get anything right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, again, to be totally honest with you, as I always am here on The Line of Fire, you know, over these years that we've been on the air, those who've been listening to us for years, those who've been listening to us for the last few months or even weeks, if new stations have taken us on and you're hearing us for the first time, you know I almost never talk about the economy. It's not because it's not important. I mean, I'm affected by the economy just like everybody else. Hey, every day we have to pay bills just to be on the radio, let alone anything else. Of course, the economy affects every one of us in multiple different ways. It affects ministries. It affects individuals. It affects business people. It affects our missionaries around the world because they'll be getting money from America, but the American dollar's down. So now the meager budget they're living on, they can't even live on that. We're all affected by the economy, but I personally have not talked about it a lot because it's not an area of expertise that I have. I mean, Dow Jones is just, you know, down 500 points right now. There's a shaking happening all over the place that will affect people around the world. I don't talk about it simply because it's not an area of expertise, not because it's unimportant. And I know there are many others that do talk about this and do have expertise and do have wisdom that I don't have. However, the thing I wanted to be honest with you about was this. I was reminded when I did my interview last week with my friend David Benham, business colleague, spiritual colleague right here in Concord, North Carolina, that the deeper issues are not economic, they're moral. That the deeper issues are not economic, they're spiritual. Now, of course, I've always known that, certainly. I mean, do you think that God will bless the American economy if it's greed-based? That God will bless the American economy while we are the largest exporter of pornography in the world? That God will bless the American economy as we continue to let the family unit fall apart? And on, obviously. So I was just personally reminded about that, to talk about the areas where I do have expertise, namely moral social issues. And as those time with the economy, I can talk about that, which gets me back to Governor Perry's prayer rally. This was not proselytizing. This was not telling people you can't participate unless you hold to our religious faith. This was Governor Perry, an evangelical Christian, known as an evangelical Christian, voted for by the people of Texas, knowing that he's an evangelical Christian, gathering others saying, we need God. We need God's mercy. We need to repent of our own sin. We need to repent of the junk in our own lives. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 4 that judgment begins with the house of God. If we who claim to have the light and we who claim to have the truth are not living it out, how can we expect the world to? If we are in the same economic mess through poor choices, to the extent it ties in with poor choices and wrong lifestyle, how can we expect the world to get it right? It's not just a matter of the President and Congress coming up with some simple solution. Well, tax cuts here, or cap or trade, or whatever these things are, how they work. It's deeper. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So as I said last week, and as I'm repeating today now after the fact, to me there is no violation of the right understanding of the separation of church and state by Governor Perry calling for a prayer meeting. And I would dare say that if he was the president of the United States, he would be calling for a national day of prayer and fasting, that we would turn to God and ask him for mercy and repent of our own sins, as other presidents have done. and as we ought to do in times of crisis. Again, the constitutional goals for America were freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And when you have a situation, say, as has happened in New York City with the World Trade Center, and the atheist group saying, look, you've got a cross there and that can't stand, has to be removed. Well, as I understand it, the cross that's there was just either divinely planned or just a freak of accident, in that some of the destroyed part of the building ended up looking like a cross. Someone said, if you've got a problem, then you've got a problem with God, not with this society. There's nothing in our Constitution, nothing in our history, nothing in a right understanding of the Constitution that would give any impression whatsoever that you shouldn't have a cross at a site like that. Or what if it was in the shape of a Star of David, which would be something special in Jewish tradition? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Separation of church and state. Come on. So in this article that I wrote, It's the Morality, Stupid, I suggest that we haven't come very far as Americans in terms of changing our way of thinking. That economy, what's best for us personally, hey, that's been an issue for a long time. Remember, Herbert Hoover, I don't think you remember because you were there, but you've heard of this. His 1928 campaign slogan was a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. So Carville's It's the Economy, Stupid is really no different than a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. So here's what I wrote. Surely then, it's still the economy, stupid, if you're running for office. Or is it? Could it be there's more to the story? Could it be that we make a serious and fundamental mistake when we separate economic issues from moral issues? Could it be that we are often treating the symptoms rather than the cause? There was bipartisan disgust as the nation watched the president and both political parties wrangling over a solution to the current financial crisis. And in the end, all we got was a very small, largely ineffective Band-Aid. As one political cartoonist depicted it, the congressional solution was like slowing down the speed with which the Titanic was sinking. Across party lines, there was a feeling that we were not really getting to the root of the problem, but few, if any, were suggesting that it is impossible to separate economics from morality. Eventually, our moral choices will have a definite and direct impact on the money or lack thereof in our pockets. A successful businessman recently suggested to me that some of the roots of our economic problems include, and I'll list them, you can if you're checking out now, if you're not getting the rest of the broadcast or you're getting out of your car, go to townhall.com. You can read the entire article. Instant gratification, becoming consumers rather than producers, breakdown of the family, abortion. All these things radically impact the economy. So if you care about the economy, then the mantra that you should have is, it's the morality, stupid. Okay, a lot more to talk about in the second hour. I do want to talk about the tragic loss of lives in Iran. A number of other things of interest. I want to be calling many of you to join us in prayer and fasting in these next few weeks. But we have, for the first time ever, a resource that we're offering on the air. It's over 12 hours of teaching I did on prophets and prophetic ministry, the heart of the prophets, how God moved in the prophets, how prophetic ministry still applies today, how God speaks to us today. It's on one CD for your MP3 player or computer. Normally sells for $25 plus postage, but we want to get it out to you. I was thinking about this over the weekend, thought this would be great to get into your hands. So just $15, and we'll pay the postage for the entire teaching series on prophets and prophetic ministry. It's a real life changer. It'll deeply impact you. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. If we turn to God and cry out and look to Him, He will hear. If we humble ourselves and repent, He will respond.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, let me make this really, really, really simple. We need God. We need God. Yeah, it's that simple. We need God in our lives. We need God in our businesses. We need God in our families. We need God in our society. To the extent we have God in our lives, to the extent we will be blessed. We'll have challenges. We'll have difficulty. And we may be hated and rejected. But if we really live, I'm not just talking about espousing religious dicta and saying the right words and looking so pious. I'm talking about living differently, being people of mercy, being people of love, being people of discipline, being people of integrity. You mean that's not going to have an effect on our economy? That's not going to have an effect on our nation? 866-34-TRUTH. Conversely, being undisciplined, being uncharitable, not having the blessing of God, walking in selfishness and greed, etc., etc. That's not going to have an impact. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Hey, be sure, friends, to check out my article just printed on townhall.com. It's The Morality, Stupid. I've read a couple of excerpts to you. I'll read a little bit more in a moment. But you can read the whole article online. If you're on our Facebook page, another good reason to be on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. There is a link to the article as well. We started the hour talking about Governor Rick Perry's prayer rally in Texas. Did anyone think it was violation of separation of church and state? People think it's a good thing and that a national leader, respected leader, should lead the way in humbling himself and repenting and asking God for mercy and praying nonpartisan prayers to a nonpartisan God. John in Houston, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Yes, sir, I'm on the air.
Yes, you're on the air. I understand you're at the conference, too.
Yes, I was. I was there. And I'd like to say that this was absolutely nonpartisan. We pray for a great awakening because we come to understand that there's been great awakenings before in our nation. And what I did not know, the first one was prior to the Revolutionary War, that our colonists were in a tough shape, that there was a moral decline then as well. I always thought of them as Puritans and solid Christians, but they were not. They were having very bad economic issues. They were under an ever-oppressive government. And Great Awakening began then under Jonathan Edwards' church because he was calling for personal repentance. And it began with the youth, and it spread to the adults and spread to all the colonies. And a lot of people think that was really the beginning of our democracy because we had the courage then to step forth as a people that had returned to the Lord for what was right. And that's what we prayed for Saturday, among other things. But we prayed for President Obama. We prayed for our leaders. We prayed for the various generations. And if anyone had been there, they would not have seen that as a partisan effort. And I heard one lady comment when I was leaving, saying, you know, if this was a political thing from the governor, so be it. You know, we don't really care because what came out of it was good. Even if the devil himself had called this, it's going to turn into something very good and positive. And I hope, I pray that we see more of this around our country.
Yeah, John, absolutely right. And yeah, Jonathan Edwards in the mid-1700s helped spark Great Awakening. George Whitefield mightily used in preaching. And this did spread, did have an impact on our country. And then a generation later, the Revolutionary War. Interestingly, there was a real moral decline after the success of the Revolutionary War. And then it was revival that turned things around again at the beginning of the 19th century. John, thanks for calling. And hey, what do you think of those sentiments? Doesn't matter what the motivation was in calling it. In other words, if Governor Perry had some diabolical purpose that this was all a way to get national attention to launch a political campaign, if the devil himself called for it, when people come together and pray and repent and turn to God, it is a good thing. I want to share some more of this article with you, and then I want to issue a call to prayer for those listening and some very, very good news when we come back.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here's what I was thinking about. That is very, very good news. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Ask Dr. Brown. On Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown. Or the website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I'm saying this in all seriousness, and it may sound a little funny when I start, but I'm really serious about this. Some very, very good, encouraging news. The church has been doing so little nationally in terms of standing up for what's right. You may have a few politically based organizations or family-based ministries or political leaders who emphasize these things more, but by and large, the church nationally has been doing so little as far as standing up for what is right. The church nationally has been doing so little in terms of really consistently gathering for prayer and repentance that we can be greatly encouraged that if we did stand up, things would change. That if we started to really live differently than the world, things would change. If we really started to prioritize going after God and humbling ourselves and seeking Him in prayer, things would change. Come on, it's not like we've all given it our best effort and fallen short, is it? It's not like we went for it and tried our hardest and everything failed around us. To the contrary, we've done very, very little. It's almost like someone, let's just say, that's totally out of shape and they get really out of breath going up a flight of stairs, and they're 30 years old and already in that state, but they've never, ever worked out in their lives. Hey, there's hope. If you'll really start to work out and little by little get into it in a disciplined way, there's no reason, barring some health anomaly, that you can't be really, really fit. So the good news is, when a governor gathers 30,000 people together for a day of prayer and it gets national attention, right or wrong and all this, it just reminds us of how little it's happening and how few leaders, political and spiritual, are standing up and going against the grain of the society. So that, in fact, is very encouraging to me. If we do something, things could really shift. 866-34-TRUTH. Don't tell me been there, done that, because we haven't been there, done that. We haven't really humbled ourselves nationally. I'm talking about the church. We haven't. It's little pockets here and there, little rallies here and there, some concerted prayer here and there. Thank God for those who've been in the remnant for years and years and setting an example for everyone else. Thank God for what you're doing. But we haven't been there and done that. It's just, oh, well, if it's old, it's old in terms of it's an old truth in Scripture that's been there for a long, long time, right? If we humble ourselves and pray, 2 Chronicles 7:14, yes, addressed to Israel as a theocracy, but the principles remain true for any people of God gathering together that know the Lord, turning to Him and asking for His mercy. He does respond as we repent and turn to God. So we haven't been there, done that already. What would happen if we do? What would happen if we really started to go after God in the way we never have before? 866-34-TRUTH. Anthony in Miami, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me. I thank God for Governor Perry. The conversation on my job today, I work here in South Beach, was when are we going to get some men that will stand up and be men in legislation and government? We need the leaders to just stand up, because this country was built on prayer. This country was built on trust and belief in God, and we've gotten so far away from that, it's ridiculous. And I just thank God for him, and I'm hoping that someone else, you know, will start to just take the reins and do the same thing, because until we turn back to God, you know, we're going to continue to decline.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Anthony. Did you vote in the last presidential election?
Yes, I did.
And who did you vote for?
President Barack Obama.
Okay. The reason I asked was because I just had a hunch, and I wanted to point out to our listeners that here's someone that voted for Barack Obama, that is cheering Governor Perry, leading us in prayer. In other words, this is not Democrat or Republican. This is not black or white. This is God having mercy on people. And we absolutely stand united, humbling ourselves, repenting, and asking him for mercy and saying to our leaders, hey, lead the way. So, Anthony, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Laura in New York City, thanks for calling.
Hi. My question is to you is, what point are you trying to make by bringing this repeatedly defense on behalf of Governor Perry?
Well, I'm talking about it. This is the first time we're actually talking about it at length. I answered a question about it last week. But the point I'm trying to make is to get different viewpoints and see what our listeners are thinking and give my viewpoint, because in point of fact, he's gotten heavily attacked for doing this. There are various groups like People for the American Way and others slamming him, saying you've got no business doing this. There were other Christian professing groups that showed up and said this shouldn't be happening. This is allegedly separation of church and state violation. And you've got, you know, radical fringe groups, allegedly like American Family Association that he's working with. So he's gotten blasted for this, in my view, completely wrongly. And I'm raising my voice to encourage others to stand together and political leaders to stand and call people to prayer and fasting and repentance. And whatever their particular faith persuasion is, they have every right to lead people in that. So I'm sharing my point of view and getting those of our listeners. However, I'm also soliciting points of view from folks who differ, which may be you.
Well, I don't quite understand, since you're familiar with the reading of the book of the prophets in the Bible, that it clearly states that God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. So there's a lot of sackcloth going on, but God said through the prophets that he did not desire the sackcloth clothing, the putting the dust of the ashes on the head. Because, I mean, what point is that when throughout history we've had a lot of that? And so as far as a lot of talk and a lot of rhetoric and a lot of showing of the outward, I'm saying, let's all come to prayer and repentance, but yet why isn't there a true obedience to the workings of what the Torah talks about? And Jesus said when he was on this earth that he desires that the heart be changed to love your neighbor as yourself. Why does Governor Perry have to toot his horn just to kind of put in the face of President Obama that here is something that you need to know, that we serve God and what type of God you serve? I think he comes off as a very arrogant person.
Laura, hang on. How much money does he give to the church? Please listen to me, okay? Please listen. You're actually sounding arrogant now, because Governor Perry prayed with meekness for our president, and there was not a single negative word spoken about the government the entire day. And the purpose of gathering was to pray for mercy, because we have failed so miserably, Laura. Here's a great word from the prophets, the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verse 12. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. So, Lord, the whole purpose of the event was to gather, to say we failed, we've blown it, we've done terribly. Have mercy on us, and have mercy on our nation, and have mercy on our government, and bless and help our president, and then we're going to go out of here living differently. So, Laura, I agree with you that empty words or fasting all day is meaningless. But when we've blown it, we humble ourselves, we ask God to have mercy on us, and then we go out of there and live differently. So, Laura, do me a favor. You're obviously a thinking woman. Go get to any online news source and just get the text of what Governor Perry actually said during his 12 minutes of address and prayer. And please call me back. I will absolutely put you at the top of the line and tell me what he said that was arrogant or that pointed any finger at President Obama. Would you be kind enough to do that? I assure you, I'll give you a hearing. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Celeste in Dracut, Massachusetts. We're up against a break, but dive right in, please.
Okay, I just want to share with you that I'm very excited that we have leaders who will stand up and confess their faith and also stand up and lead people to repent, as we've had in biblical times of old. We need heroes. We need people who were like Joshua and Caleb. They wouldn't run away from the giants, that they're going to stand up and they're going to face the giants, and they're going to lead the people to face the giants in our world. The giants of, economic disaster or morality or whatever it is. But
amen.
I am so grateful for that. For
all
that,
right, thank you.
Call.
Thank you for calling
thank
in. You speak for many others. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to invite you to join us these next 3 weeks, leading up actually to Saturday, August 27th, so just 19 days from now. If you can pray every day for this, whether it's 3 minutes or an hour, with others, or if you can set aside some time to fast or skip a meal here and there. We are calling on everyone in our region, the greater Charlotte, North Carolina region, but asking folks to join us nationally. August 27th is a major gay pride event in our city, and it's a time when we bring the love of God into the midst of it, where we practice what we preach, reach out and resist. We stand against gay activism. We absolutely stand for gay individuals. We care deeply about everyone Jesus died for and proclaim a message that God has a better way. And we, are gathering hundreds of people that will be going into the event that day, sharing the love of God and having an outreach rally that night with folks testifying who've come out of homosexuality by the power of God. And we'd love for you to be joining us. Everyone that's able, just every day, just say, God, bless that event. Or God, pour out your spirit the homosexual community of Charlotte, or however you feel led to pray, or God, turn the tide in the nation, beginning in Charlotte. If you do that, that would be awesome. Just make a note to yourself. Private prayer, corporate prayer is going to make the difference. All right, back to the phones. AJ in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, I'd like to know why you think we should vote for another Christian governor when the last one, he had a lot of congressmen and senators that painted his presidency with corruption, and he went to war on lies. And, I mean, he pretty much painted Christianity. I mean, how should we trust, Rick Perry of Texas?
Yeah, good question. But I've got a question for you, AJ. What made you bring up voting? Because I haven't said a word about voting. I simply asked about whether it was right for him to gather people in prayer and fasting. And I was saying it's a great thing that he did, and I encourage other leaders to do that. So just out of curiosity, why did you say that I said we should vote for him? Because I haven't brought up voting.
Well, not vote for him. It's just, it bothers me that these guys, they're Christians around election time, and before they ran or started to run, you didn't really hear too much about Christianity in it.
Well, you hear it with Rick Perry. He's been an outspoken evangelical Christian for quite some time. And I know people close to him, whether he'd make a good president or not is a separate issue. How his faith would impact his decision-making as a president is another issue. No, but he, as far as I understand, he is a real deal, very committed evangelical Christian. And for those to whom that's important, that distinction should be made. Now, we could have an atheistic president that could do well in certain places and a evangelical Christian president that could do poorly in other areas. For my druthers, I would want a strong, solid leader who was a committed believer. If I could have both of those together, that would be awesome. But hey, AJ, we're short on time. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Roger in Westchester, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Governor Perry was terrific in that even though he may be running against President Obama in the election, he prayed for him and his family. He was in the spirit. But as I looked around that stadium, I didn't see any black Christians. And there should have been many black Christians there, but they weren't because they're more in the flesh than in the spirit.
Yeah, well,
Obama.
Yeah. Let me just say this, Roger. I appreciate the observation. When I tuned in, I saw a couple different parts of the day. The two parts where I tuned in, first I saw Tony Evans speaking, who's a black pastor, and then I saw another black pastor leading in prayer. So I know on the level of leaders, there was certainly an interracial, interdenominational, inter-ethnic, or multi-ethnic, I should say, multiracial, multi-denominational gathering. As for making a blanket statement that black Americans were not in the spirit or they wouldn't have voted for Barack Obama, obviously, Roger, I didn't vote for Barack Obama because of strong moral differences with him. Our black American Christian friends would often point out that there are other issues that they're looking at that they feel that the government won't give attention to. So perhaps that's a subject we'll bring up, and I think it's worth discussing. We'll get some black and white Christian leaders on the air together to talk these things through, but we will do it in a very different context than just an offhanded remark like that. Okay, Rich in Coram, Long Island. We're a little short on time, so dive right in.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Yes.
I just wanted to say the scripture says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. And it's important to vote for rights, you know, godly people that are true believers. And I believe just from listening to Rick Perry, I know you said you know people that know him. He seems to be a true born-again believer. And I don't know if he formed the prayer rally or if he was just a part of it, but thank God I watched part of it online or the afternoon after service on Shabbat. But it was just awesome to see us, the people of God, coming together, knocking down denominational walls, not caring, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm this, that, or the other thing. We're one in Messiah, we're one in Jesus Christ, and they stood there repenting for the sins of this nation, and thank God we did.
Yes, all right, Rich, I'm with you, and thank you for quoting that scripture as well. Listen, to the extent that our leaders lead righteously, to that extent, our nation will be blessed. It's really very simple. There are universal principles of Scripture. To the extent our leaders lead righteously and lead by example and make righteous decisions, be it righteous decisions regarding war, righteous decisions regarding the poor, righteous decisions regarding family, righteous decisions regarding international relations, righteous decisions regarding sexual morality, to that extent, we will be blessed. And someone attending the prayer conference said that there, thank you for this note there, that there are a lot of folks from different races, a good representative of black and white together at the prayer rally. That certainly would have been the governor's heart and the leader's heart. Okay, a great resource we have that is a real life changer, one of the most impacting courses I've taught on prophets and prophetic ministry. Whether you're charismatic or not, this will really impact you because it gives you the heart of the prophet, the calling of the prophet, the burden of the prophet, how God spoke to prophets, and how he can still speak to us today. It's only a $25 resource on CD or for your MP3 player or your computer. We reduced the price to $15, and I think it's close to 15 hours of teaching, and we'll pay the postage too. So great resource. Take advantage of it by calling 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Get the course on Prophets and Prophetic Ministry on CD. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, there is a great need for godly leaders to stand up without fear and without shame and to lead the way. To lead the way in humility, to lead the way in repentance, to lead the way and humbling themselves before God and appealing to God for mercy and leading the nation into a place of humility and repentance. Hey, let it start with a remnant and it can spread. We had a terribly tragic, bloody weekend in Afghanistan. Does that mean we should entrench ourselves all the more? Does that mean we should get out in a hurry?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, we have really become much more familiar with Navy SEALs over the years and their incredible dedication and the way they have to live and how difficult it is to become a Navy SEAL. So, you know, we hear of casualties in war. We're always grieved. I'm sure, unless we've lived through it personally, which I haven't, lived through personally getting word that your spouse or your son or your daughter or your brother or sister was killed in battle, I'm sure we can't relate to the trauma of that. Perhaps we've lost loved ones in other settings and can relate to the trauma on that level. Most of us then can. But we hear these numbers, 31 fatalities, and then you hear mainly Navy SEALs, and then you hear from the same Unit 6, that was the unit that took out Osama bin Laden, even if it wasn't the same people. It's really one of those uniquely personal war moments. It makes you think about a lot of things. We're going to talk about that today on The Line of Fire. I don't recall in my years on the air talking much about the war in Iraq or the war in Afghanistan. We'll talk about things happening in Israel a lot. We'll bring perspective on that, having more expertise in those areas. But I want to get your feedback. I just want to talk this through with you today. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, or go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, a few things to throw out to you. Are you ready? One, when you hear news like this, do you say to yourself, we need to prosecute this war until the end? Look, it was the Taliban and that hosted, cared for Osama bin Laden, would not turn him over. They therefore became our enemies after 9/11. And by the way, that I can relate to closer to home, in that my wife's only brother, Douglas, was killed in the World Trade Center, 9/11. Nancy's brother, Douglas. So does this give further incentive? Don't let their blood be in vain. Don't let the blood of these soldiers, these elite people, these Navy men, don't let their blood and the blood of all the others who've died in Afghanistan be in vain. We've got to prosecute this war to the end, and we've got to subdue the Taliban. Or does this underscore that we're fighting a worthless war, that we're fighting a war that has no purpose? What a tragic loss of life. But let's cut future losses short. The government of Karzai is a corrupt government, many would say. And what are we going to do? Destroy every last member of the Taliban? It's just not going to happen. These are religious fanatics, and this is their territory. And they're not going to quit. Let's get out while we can. I'm just wondering what your sentiments are. 866-34-TRUTH. And then, just a thought. I don't necessarily have a question with this, but just a thought. I remember during the hostage crisis in Iran during the presidency of Jimmy Carter that he launched a very daring rescue effort. And because of winds and desert conditions, we had casualties. We never got there to carry out our plans. Of course, for the Muslims, this was something for which Allah should be praised. This was evidence that God was with them and against us. Just think of this. If you're a Taliban, if you're a Muslim extremist, and you hear that Navy SEALs, part of the same unit that took down Osama bin Laden, have just been killed, are you going to say, look at that, justice? Allah had justice. Allah triumphed over the wicked Americans. Just extraordinary to think about. And lastly, if it had been 31 Taliban who had been killed, would that have been a tragedy on the same level as losing 31 Americans and allied troops? A lot to think about. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, we haven't talked much about the war in Afghanistan and Iraq over the years here. These are things that affect many of your lives very, very deeply and affect all of us on one level or another. So I'm going to devote some time to it today in light of the terrible losses over the weekend, the worst sustained in a single day in the war in Iraq or Afghanistan on our behalf. Of course, it's tragic when any human being dies. It's tragic when a human being dies in wickedness. That's a tragic loss. It's tragic when a human being dies defending their country. But these are all human beings involved here, all created in the image of God. The Taliban, the Afghan people, the American troops, the troops from different parts of the world. And it just reminds you of how horrible war is. I mean, there's often a right side and a wrong side. There's often a just war. There's often something worth laying your life down for, to preserve freedoms and to save people's lives. I mean, thank God for the American and Allied troops that helped put an end to World War II and liberated the concentration camps. But the fact is, the Germans are human beings too, and it's a tragedy when people die without God. It's very sad when people die with God fighting for what's right. It's a terrible loss for the families. It's shock. It's pain. On the one hand. On the other hand, loss of life is tragic. In other words, God didn't intend for us when he created us to be killing each other. And for one group having to give their lives to defend freedom or to defend justice or to defend what's right. So as you hear about what happened over the weekend, what's your reaction? Does this say to you, entrench ourselves all the more? We've got a war to fight, and we've got to weed out this horrific Islamic Taliban expression from inflicting more damage on more lives? Or do you think, come on, get out of Afghanistan already? Just wondering. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. I wrote an article, the first article I can remember writing, that focused on economic issues, but the whole focus of my article was to say that we are really needing to focus on moral issues if we want to fix the economy. The article is called "It's the Morality, Stupid," not "It's the Economy, Stupid," which was the famous mantra, the slogan of James Carville, but it's the morality, stupid. If you really want to hit on the deepest issues economically in our country, we need to point to moral issues and, of course, spiritual issues. The article was just printed on townhall.com. I'd encourage you to read it. Go to our website. Go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. There's a link, or just go to townhall.com. You'll find the article there. Also, before we talk more about the war, a reminder for those who are not familiar with the Jewish calendar that tonight and tomorrow are what are called the it's a day of mourning called Tish'ah, which is the ninth, Tish'ah B'Av, the ninth of Av. Av is the month of the year, the Jewish calendar, that roughly corresponds to July, August. And it's a time of mourning and fasting. It's a time of saying that, well, we're recalling past tragedies in Jewish history. Some of these actually took place on the 9th of Av, just one after another after another. Some took place close to it and by tradition have been attached to this day. So some have said this is like the quintessential day of Jewish suffering. And it's a good time to pray for outpouring of mercy on Jewish people worldwide. Also, it's one other issue of importance. We'd love to solicit your prayers for the next 19 days in particular. Join with us as we will be rallying hundreds of believers together in the greater Charlotte area to attend the Pride Charlotte event, a gay pride event in the heart of our city. It's been moved out of the heart of the city for some time now, or moved to more private areas, or again, out of the main part of the city. One major reason being that we were part of an organized effort to get many believers into the midst of the event, sharing the gospel in a loving way, making Jesus known. And they said, well, we're not running from the Christians anymore. The Democratic National Convention is coming to our city. And because of that, the gay community said, we want to make a loud and clear statement here and go right to the heart of the city. So we want to make a loud and clear statement to say we love you. We care deeply for you. Jesus died for you. We know there's a better way. We know there's hope for transformation and wholeness in Jesus beyond anything the homosexual lifestyle or homosexual community can offer. And at the same time, we do stand against your activist goals, wanting to redefine marriage and family, wanting to put an aggressive gay-slanted curriculum in the schools and force, quote, diversity training in the workplace, and on and on. Because of which, we will be in the midst of this rally, hundreds and hundreds of believers coming together with prayer, fasting, and showing and sharing the good news of Jesus, the theme, God Has a Better Way. You can find out about it by going to GodHasABetterWay.com. But we're encouraging you, if you're anywhere in the greater Charlotte area, join us that day. It'll just be 3 hours of your time on August 27th. Details again on GodHasABetterWay.com. But join us in prayer and fasting. Just up until this time, we launched 3 weeks of prayer and fasting on Saturday night that'll lead up to the 27th. Every day, just pray, God, pour out your spirit in Charlotte. God, do something in the city. God, raise up a testimony in the city. God, make a difference in the city. What happens here will have a ripple effect around the nation, for sure. We've seen that already. So join us in prayer. If God lays it on your heart to fast in any way, awesome. If you're within an hour or two or three and can join us that day, it'll be 12 to 3 that Saturday, August 27th. By all means, be part of that. And I'll give this update, and then we'll come back to talking about Afghanistan and what our response should be after the terrible loss of life over the weekend. The American Psychological Association, very, very influential. There's the American Psychiatric Association and American Psychological Association. This is the latter. The American Psychological Association, which I believe has 154,000 members, very, very influential. They recently voted on the issue of same-sex marriage, where they should stand on same-sex marriage. And they voted 157-0 in the leadership committee, 157-0 to now come out fully supporting same-sex marriage. You better believe this has cultural implications. The National Education Association already in 2009 came out. National Education Association, that's right, massive union in our schools all over America, came out in 2009 and said, we absolutely support same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're dealing with. This will not be won through political means alone. This needs prayer, fasting, and a righteous, godly, loving, truth-filled witness. Hey, things have gotten to the point now. Sao Paulo, Brazil, biggest city, I believe, in South America. They have now passed a bill that the governor has to sign. I think it's going to be the third Sunday of December will be Heterosexual Pride Day. They say, we're not anti-gay, but they get so much special treatment, and it's, you know, basically prejudicial. We need to have Heterosexual Pride Day. Mm. So will you join us in prayer? And if you're anywhere in the area, by all means, attend the event. Okay, back to our main topic today, the war in Afghanistan. Cindy in St. Petersburg, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I never supported going over there in the first place, but now that we're there, my informed opinion is that it would be more problematic to leave. It's a lose-lose situation, but to leave now for a number of reasons. One of them has to do with Islamic prophecy, and another one has to do with, believe it or not, an Israel connection, the implications for Israel. My cat's crying.
That's all right.
But I've been following it pretty much. Actually, I think today the negotiator, that's like Mullah Omar's negotiator, I think he disappeared from what I heard on Twitter. So mm-hmm. Now I think the talks are like,
the talks about talks are like suspended. But I noticed something with Israel too. I noticed that you might have also heard it too, but the person that the High Peace Council was going to, they were floating the idea to name as the representative to Europe from the Afghanistan High Peace Council was Abdullah Azzam's son-in-law or brother-in-law, and I'm not sure which one this Abdullah Anas is because I've read both.
Hey, Cindy, I apologize for jumping in. We've got a break, but I appreciate you weighing in, sharing your viewpoint that, hey, if we pull out of Afghanistan, there are a lot of other implications for the region. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Back with more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are spending some time talking about the war in Afghanistan, talking about the terrible loss of life over this weekend and whether that gives incentive to get out as quickly as possible or gives incentive, rather, to fight through to a place of victory, whatever victory would mean. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Just wanting your reaction. When you hear about the loss of life, the loss of Navy SEAL life over the weekend, somehow it makes it a bit more personal because we've heard some of their stories and their heroism and so on. So when you hear this, does this give you incentive to get out or to prosecute the war to its completion? Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I do want to say a few things. That the loss of life does remind us of the horrors of war. And when you have losses in the numbers that we did say with World War II or World War I, or go back to the Civil War, these unbelievably high numbers, just reminds us again that it's a messed up world. It's a messed up world that we have to kill each other for the sake of justice, that we have to kill each other So that one tyrant won't take over another country and kill more people. It's a terrible thing. Well, I've never been in war, in physical war. Was never drafted or served in the military. But when people say war is hell, yeah, obviously. And even the best case scenario where we defeat the enemy, there's still loss of life. Loss of life of people created by God, even if it was a right cause. Even if what we're doing was absolutely a right cause and necessary, and the soldiers that fought for the winning side in the case of a right, just war, we look at as heroes, and we commend them for their sacrifice, still, it's just a shame that it's people killing people, isn't it? I mean, if you had been a missionary in Afghanistan, and you were trying to somehow infiltrate the Taliban and reach them, and dozens of their people were killed, And for the most part, you assume men fighting, right, or entirely. You know, that's somebody's son or husband or brother or father. It's still a loss of life, even if what they're doing is evil and even if they deserve to die. Follow what I'm saying? Get my throat clear here. Even if what they're doing should rightly bring down a death sentence on them. It's war is still tragic. And then you think of the amount of money that has to be invested in war. I mean, it's, what is it, $2 billion a week or something like that to keep us in Afghanistan? And I'm not for a moment downplaying the heroic sacrifice that so many have made for freedom or for a better way and to get the oppressive ways of the Taliban out of the country. I'm just saying it's all tragic. It's all tragic. Don't you think so? 866-34-TRUTH. This right now would be an appropriate time to read this email to you that I have had on my desk for days now. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm an active duty Air Force officer. I've served our country with distinction for the past 20 years, and I soon retire for the Air Force. Then he gives a few more details, which he asked me not to share because they're more personal. I've been reading your book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And now with President Obama's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it is time for me to get a few things off my chest. the Don't Ask, Don't Tell survey. I actually took the survey that the Department of Defense put out regarding the potential at the time, repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. From firsthand experience, I can tell you that the survey was skewed. The survey was about what if Don't Ask, Don't Tell were repealed and didn't get at whether Don't Ask, Don't Tell ought to be repealed. Second, it never asked service members if they thought homosexuality was immoral. This was absolutely amazing to me how this massive survey could miss such a basic issue. Third, the preface to the survey had such detailed questions about the person taking the survey that one could be singled out individually. In other words, this was not really an anonymous survey. As a result, I suspect many people who took the survey didn't convey their concerns over homosexuals serving openly in the military. They were worried they could lose their job. I had a fellow military officer confirm the above 3 points to me in a candid conversation. I didn't convey the points to him. They were in the back of my mind. He brought them up to me unsolicited. From my experience, most who are serving in the military believe homosexuality is immoral. However, there is a deafening silence for the most part, as most people are afraid of losing their careers if they speak out. I knew I was taking a risk, but I found a free text portion in the survey where I could say what I wanted to say. Here's what I wrote. Again, this is from a soon-to-be-retired Air Force officer. He wrote, "A critical issue that senior civilian and military leaders need to address is whether homosexuality is moral. So far, I don't believe senior civilian and military leaders have answered this question. If homosexuality is moral, then I don't see any significant problem repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It is the civil government's job to condone morality and condemn immorality. We believe some things are objectively moral and good, like integrity, service before self, excellency, honesty, justice, and defending our nation. Other things are objectively immoral, like sexual harassment, exploitation, racial discrimination, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, rape, and murder. I believe these things because I know God exists. Right and wrong are rooted in God's character, and he has spoken to us of his character and what things are moral in the Old and New Testament. With the utmost respect to our civilian and military leaders, I believe homosexuality is objectively immoral. This is clearly what Jesus taught. Therefore, I respectfully urge our civilian and military leaders do not repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What is the impact to me? If I were not already getting out of the military, repealing the policy would likely cause me to get out. If the policy is repealed, I will no longer encourage other Christians to join the military. This causes me great sadness, as I have a great love for our country and the military. I believe it is an appropriate, justified, and principled response. To this day, I don't believe civilian and military senior leaders have addressed the question of whether homosexuality is moral. It has been sidestepped." And he says, as for implementation, then he emailed me a pamphlet that the Air Force published regarding the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. In this pamphlet, there are a couple of things to note that might shock the general population. First, there is no provision for separate bathroom showering facilities. Historically, we have respected people's rights to not be lusted after in a public bathroom. We have separate men's and women's bathrooms. Without separate facilities, homosexuals can get as much of an eyeful as they want. The military does not respect my right to not be lusted after. Second, military members can be forced to live with homosexuals. Military members have no legal right to refuse to live with homosexuals. Clearly, the rights of heterosexuals are subordinate to homosexuals. The military atmosphere, he says, is growing increasingly hostile towards Christians. It is time for me to go. I'm leaving the military proud of what I've done and grateful to God to have worked with so many fine people defending our great but declining nation. Again, just another reminder to pray for God's mercy on our nation, God's mercy on every aspect of our nation, including our military, and for a moral awakening, a turning to God, which, friends, is our only real hope. We've got a great resource at a great price, about 15 hours of teaching I've done on prophets and prophetic ministry, getting into the heart, mind, burden of the prophet. It's really very impacting. We've reduced the price, and we'll pay the postage as well, so you get all the hours of teaching for just $15 on one CD for your computer or MP3 player. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the series on prophets and prophetic ministry, only $15, postage paid. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. Back with much more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just had an article published today on Town Hall, my latest Town Hall article, called It's the Morality, Stupid, talking about the real problems in the American economy cannot be separated from problems in American morality. And just looking at one response, this is a vampire's reflection. I haven't read just a few responses so far. I haven't even read all of those because of being on the radio. But I just read this during the break. You fail. You haven't gotten a single clue what you're talking about. And then Vampire's Reflection goes on to set the record straight. Isn't that delightful? I'll share some of that article, some of my thoughts about that with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Hey, we've got someone new answering our phones, screening callers today. Andrew, that's a great suggestion, that you need a clap machine. Every time I come back on the air, there needs to be clapping, because, Andrew, I'm sure that, of course, all across the country, that the moment I come back on, that there's just clapping and euphoria and people punching the air and excitement and people giving high fives. All right, tell you what, don't worry about the clapping. I'm just glad to have you out there listening. I was in my car yesterday, and I flipped on radio, and I thought, hey, it really does bless me that you tune in and that you join the show, or you listen online, or you subscribe by podcast, because I take these shows really seriously. I take this time with you on the air really seriously. Every day we're really looking for God to use these shows, whether it's a real heavy, intense topic, whether we're opening the Word, whether it's something a bit more lighthearted. But we're thrilled to be here together with you. Otherwise, you'd be sitting there listening to who knows what, and I'd just be talking to the air. So it's a good working arrangement. Glad to be on the air with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, a question I asked in the first half hour, but I want to come back to now and then share a few thoughts with you about the American economy from this article. It's the Morality, Stupid. I do want to come back, though, to the tragic loss of life over the weekend in Afghanistan, our worst war losses. When you hear this, perhaps you've been in the military, perhaps you're family of a military member, perhaps you are a casualty of war in one way or another. But directly, when you hear a report like this, does it make you say, let's get out of there? This is not a war that we're going to win. This is not a successful undertaking. This is absolutely something that's destined to fail. Let's cut our losses and get out of there quicker that we can? Or does this give you a deeper resolve to fight this war through and to have clearly defined goals? And when those goals are met, then we leave. And to leave prematurely is to dishonor those who have shed their blood, dishonor those who have laid down their lives for the country and for our values of freedom. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me say this, general spiritual statement. As followers of Jesus, we are not in a physical war with people as far as our values. In other words, we despise the idea of the Crusades, where Crusader armies marched to liberate the Holy Land from the infidels and kill Jews along the way, said, be baptized or die. We despise that. We despise when we see aggressive Islamic attempts to take territory for Islam by the sword. We put down the sword and we take up the cross. I'm not talking about should we ever go to war. I'm talking about to spread the gospel. We absolutely despise the notion that you spread the gospel through physical, violent means. God forbid, you cannot spread the gospel through those means. It's completely contrary to what the gospel is about. That being said, we are called to have the mentality of soldiers. We are called to give ourselves to the cause, whether by life or by death. We can learn about dedication looking at our soldiers.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is great to be with you, friends, on The Line of Fire today. I'll talk about an issue that I don't often talk about or very, very rarely talk about, which is the war in Afghanistan, war in Iraq. And just want to get your take, just want to reflect with the loss of life, the Navy SEALs over the weekend, of course, just ironic and in a tragic way how some of the very same unit, apparently not the same people, but the same unit, Unit 6, the Navy SEALs that took out Osama bin Laden, now gets taken out by Taliban. Surely they would look at this as revenge from Allah and as justification for their cause. But when you hear about this, does this make you say, let's get out of there already, the sooner the better, or no, we've got to fight this through? And there are larger issues in the Islamic world, the radical Islamic world, and Israel security, and on and on. And we need to look at these as well. 866-34-TRUTH. I thought, in light of the loss of life, that it was right that we spent some time talking about this over the weekend. And some of you may just be complete pacifists and say, does any loss of life is wrong? Taliban, American, NATO, it doesn't matter. It's all wrong, and we need to find a better way. And others might say, that's nice theory, but it's not going to work in this world. All right, Mike in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes, sir. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
Just fine, thanks.
Good. I appreciate your program here. Yeah, I just think it's kind of coincidental in a strange way that the same guys who are part of the Navy SEAL 6 unit are the guys who go down in Afghanistan. I just think that it's, number one, it's an unwinnable war that has now become, it's making the world a police state, keep people continually on the ropes, continually manipulate people into doing whatever the government, and now as we're approaching the global government does, whatever they say in the name of having war for the sake of quote-unquote peace. So I think that unfortunately, I think the people in our military are being used by the government in a bigger purpose that's beyond themselves now, that it's no longer the military as we used to know it. I think
what's the bigger purpose from your perspective, Mike?
I think the bigger purpose is just in line with scripture, that if you were trying to predict 2,000 years ago, or even in the book of Daniel, thousands of years ago, the way the world would culminate and the way it would progress, to see it actually happening that way is another evidence of the truth of the Bible. It's just you couldn't have predicted this stuff. It's a global conspiracy, not from a human standpoint. I think this is where some of the conspiracy theorists get it wrong. I don't think that goes far enough. Our weapon, our warfare is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, and this conspiracy is against Christ and his bride and bringing the whole world under domination. And that's what I think is really happening behind the scenes, unfortunately.
All right. Hey, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it, Mike. 866-34-TRUTH. Ken in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. Your take.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, I just was listening here in the conversation. You guys are right on track. I believe that it's a spiritual issue. We're fighting the lies of the devil with weapons and so forth, and we're losing lives. And I don't think we're going to be effective first we're losing these great brave men, and secondly, I don't think we're going to be successful in that part of the world when they don't even have a basis of the gospel. And what infuriates me is that we can't even have our guys can't even proselytize over there and share the hope and the love of Christ. Our country's become, our government and our people running the military are ungodly, and they're not gonna let us bring in Bibles, and they're bringing homosexuality into the military. And I think we need to, as Christians, be focusing on prayer to renew our country and get out of that part of the world.
All right, so Ken, if it was a situation where we had the prospect of a somewhat righteous government being raised up and it would have different values, would you feel differently than propping up the current regime that's in Afghanistan?
Great thought, but that's not the situation.
Oh, I'm just trying to get your perspective. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I probably would be less likely to say get out then. I mean, they did knock out buildings, and I'd rather have the war than here.
Mm-hmm.
But would it still be an opportunity for us to be a good, godly, righteous act of, you know, taking them out by force? That would be a different.
All right. Hey, listen, I appreciate you thinking out loud with me on the air. Thanks for the call,
okay.
Ken. 866-34-TRUTH. Jay in Draper, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think you're asking the wrong question. You know, should we be emotionally tied to one event? I don't think so. You know, if our purpose in Afghanistan is correct, then it's still correct, even if some emotionally tied event happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bigger question is should we actually be there? And what are our objectives? You know, this is a war on terror.
Mm-hmm.
It's a war on some ethereal purpose. I don't understand why we're there. But, you know, George Washington in his departure address said we shouldn't be entangled in foreign complications and wars and treaties and so forth. You know, the United States should be the United States, and we should our military should be used for our defense.
Right, so Jay, was it right for us to help the Allies against the Nazis?
Well, you know, exactly what we did was correct, you know, I'm sure in, you know, when it all shakes out, we stopped a lot of deaths, especially vis-a-vis the Jewish population and some of the other minorities that the Nazis were going after. But, you know, it was determined long ago by some nonprofit tax-exempt foundations that the best way to change societies was through the use of war. And so I think there's a lot more going on to the fact that we're using this foreign interventionism than just saying we're attacking terrorists.
I understand, Jay. I was just addressing the larger question of should we get involved in other countries' affairs. That was my larger issue. All right, thanks for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, I don't plan on addressing these issues often. But I do want to say a few things while we are addressing it. I agree with our last caller that we cannot just have an emotional reaction to a tragic loss of life because when you get engaged in war, you know there are going to be losses of life. I mean, even though we get more and more high tech, and I've just been reading how Israel is looking to do a lot of fighting against Iran's nuclear program with more and more cyber warfare. In other words, through computer viruses and other things like that. But still, there's going to be loss of life. We know it. And when people enroll in any arm of the military, they know that they may die. And family members know that they may get that dread knock at the door from a military person saying your husband, or your wife, or your child has died in war. So you can't just have a reaction when you have a real tragedy. Okay, we better get out of there. But the question is, what are our goals? what would success mean, and to what extent or is it our job to get into these other countries? Just fair questions to ask in the midst of a situation like this, commending the courage and the willingness to sacrifice that these men and women have who've lost their lives for our country. And I don't think, I'm not a military man myself, but I don't think people join the military primarily with the notion of it's our goal. I'm joining the military because I want to go to places and kill people. I don't believe that that's why people are in the military. I'm going to join the military so I can go overseas and butcher and murder people. No, it's primarily a sense of patriotism that would drive them. But where does one draw the line? We'll be back. Change the world.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a quiz for you, all right? What happens August 23rd that's of real importance to folks in the greater Charlotte area? August 23rd, yeah. Oh, that's Tuesday night, uh-huh, Tuesday, good, good. What is it? Yes! Night school classes for the first time ever started Fire School of Ministry, our leadership institute, all those hungry to go deeper in the Word, all those wanting to be impacted by God in their own lives, all those wanting to go out and make an impact on others. Great classes we'll have, and I have the privilege of teaching the first two. We're looking to expand the program to serve the community in a better way. We have a full-time day program. We're looking to move more and more into the night to expand for our community here. But the first 8 weeks, Principles of Revival, followed by 8 weeks on the Book of Jeremiah and prophetic ministry. So find out about that. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Fire School of Ministry right on our homepage, and you can register for the class online. And if you are regularly listening to the program, please, please introduce yourself when you sign up for the class on August 23rd. All right, back to the phones as we've been talking about the war in Afghanistan. Cameron in Syracuse, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir, Dr. Brown. God bless you in your ministry, first off. Love you,
thank
sir.
You.
All right, next, real quick, I want to say I am an 8-year active duty Air Force veteran. I did law enforcement when I was in, and right now I'm an online seminary student with Liberty University. So this conversation that you're having is highly relevant to me because I'm pursuing the Air Force chaplaincy. Mm-hmm. So in response to your question about us being over there, should we pull out? The thing is, it's a really, really tough when any human life is lost, and especially if there are multiple casualties in one event and things like that. And as painful as it is, I believe that if we were going there to fight terrorism, I believe we've got to continue the mission. I know that when 9/11 first happened and we declared war on terrorism, we knew it was going to be a long war, and as painful as it is, I believe we need to keep going.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying what you said as someone who's been in the Air Force, that any loss of life is tragic. In other words, people don't join the different branches of the military because they just want to go kill people. They do it because they love their country or they feel that this is a good cause. But you understand that life could be lost, your life, the lives of others, and war is very difficult. So I commend you for the course that you're on. I was just at Liberty last week for a conference dealing with homosexual activism. Amazing campus, great growth there, and their online program, I hear, is terrific. So glad you're in that. One question for you. I read an email earlier in the broadcast from an Air Force officer, 20 years, is about to retire, very upset about what's happening with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and issues I've heard from others in chaplaincy, their concerns. So what's your take on that, Cameron, as someone considering being an Air Force chaplain in terms of restrictions of religious liberty or just larger concerns with Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Yes, sir. It breaks my heart that the military is becoming more and more hostile to the gospel. I've somewhat seen the military as somewhat of a conservative stronghold, so to speak. For example, military members who can actually lose a stripe or get charged if they're caught in adultery, which doesn't happen in the civilian world. But at the same time, I believe that the mission field that the Air Force is still ripe for the harvest. And I believe that chaplains can go places to spread the gospel and to minister to troops where no one else can, places like Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Being in chapel services out there, the tremendous, outpouring of the Spirit, I can attest to in those places. And in addition to this, one of the things a lot of people don't think about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is the gospel has spread there in a way that it could not have spread had not the U.S. been over there. For example, Liberty, again, I know Thomas Falwell, Jerry Falwell's son, the church that he started in Lynchburg, Virginia, they themselves have planted dozens of churches in Iraq since the beginning of the war. And doubtless, I know that there are U.S. missionaries in Afghanistan. And again, had we not been there, the door would not have been open, I don't think.
Hey, listen, I think that's a perspective that we hear very, very little about. And it's great that you shared that with our listeners because, interestingly, that'll be the first time either some people have thought about that or heard about that. So God bless you, Cameron. Be strong. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Let's leave it here. Let's leave it here with a gospel perspective. And let's pray for those who are looking to use every situation as an opportunity for the gospel. Looking to use every situation as a way to glorify Jesus. Looking at this as a way to say, hey, there are troops out there. We need to get to those troops and take the gospel to them. And probably a whole lot more people get saved out in the midst of war, in the midst of battle, than just living in the comfort of their own home, in their own homeland. And yes, whether you agree with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan or not, can you not believe that the gospel can get out, that doors can be opened, that there can be an increase in religious liberty in certain places? So I know there are challenges. I know in Iraq as well, there's persecution of historic Christians there. And there was a degree to which Saddam Hussein held things back in terms of Islamic persecution of Christians. And yet God can move in the midst of all this. So let's really pray. For those of us who don't pray for these things, let's pray for God to have his way in Iraq and Afghanistan and for the kingdom of God to come in power. And above all, for an amazing harvest of souls in the Muslim world to increase until the very kingdom of Islam is shaken down at the feet of King Jesus. Come on, let it be so. I believe God. Let's believe him together. And let's pray for God's will and God's best for all of our troops serving around the world and for all of the other armies around the world. God, have your way. You are the God of the armies of heaven. How much more the God of everything on this earth, even when people rebel and do their own thing and follow Satan, the god of this world, still our God works and accomplishes his purposes. Something that'll really help you understand how God gripped the prophets and moved through the prophets and burdened them and spoke to them and spoke through them and how this is still relevant for us today. A 15-hour teaching series, probably more than 15 hours, I've done on prophets and prophetic ministry. Even those that are not charismatic, don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit for today, this will be a very powerful, life-changing course for you to take. It's all on one CD for your computer MP3 player, and we've reduced the price to $15 for all of it. That's right, and we'll pay the postage too. But give us a call to get this teaching series on prophets and prophetic ministry. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One last time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Get the class on prophets and prophetic ministry. My bottom line today, we know that war is hell, as the common saying goes. We know that there's bloodshed, loss of life, tragedy, pain, hardship on both sides, no matter what happens. Let us pray that in the midst of the pain and the bloodshed, that the kingdom of God will come, that Jesus will be glorified, and that God's purposes on the earth will be accomplished.